You know, sometimes relationships can be crazy. I was reading something, and it says, if you think your family has problems, consider the marriage mayhem created when 76-year-old Bill Baker of London recently wed Edna Harvey. She happened to be his granddaughter's husband's mother. That's where the confusion began. According to Baker's granddaughter, Lynn, my mother-in-law is now my step-grandmother. My grandfather is now my step-father-in-law. My mom is my sister-in-law, and my brother is my nephew. But even crazier is now that I'm married to my uncle, and my own children are my cousins.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series of messages from the book of Proverbs. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How Do I Build and Maintain Healthy Relationships?
As we come to our series today in the book of Proverbs, we've been dealing with questions that have been in the hearts of not only God's people, but questions that have been in the hearts of individuals. And today we come in the book of Proverbs to deal with this issue: how do I build and maintain healthy relationships? How do I build and maintain healthy relationships? So maybe there's somebody that not here today, or somebody that you know, and we pray that you would take the notes, and if the Lord so moves you to get a copy of this message, that you would get a copy of the message and share it with those individuals. But you might have to do it on the sly, right? Because if you just outright boldly give it to them, they might say, hey, what you doing? And they might think that you're trying to get a message across to them, which you are. You know, sometimes relationships can be crazy. I was reading something, and it says, if you think your family has problems, consider the marriage mayhem created when 76-year-old Bill Baker of London recently wed Edna Harvey. She happened to be his granddaughter's husband's mother. That's where the confusion began. According to Baker's granddaughter, Lynn, my mother-in-law is now my step-grandmother. My grandfather is now my step-father-in-law. My mom is my sister-in-law, and my brother is my nephew. But even crazier is now that I'm married to my uncle, and my own children are my cousins. So sometimes relationships can be crazy. But as we look at the message this morning, I want to ask you the question as we go to our next slide, and that is, do you know or recognize any of the people up here? Now, I know this is not the clearest slide, and I knew that when it was going to go up there. But, you know, either there are people that we know who fit into these personality types, or sad to say, that we ourselves might be one of these personality types. And what we need to understand that as we deal with relationships, you know, these are the types that we will be dealing with. And so when we deal with personality types, there's the know-it-alls. And let me see, it might be better for me if I read it off of my notes up here. The know-it-all. They are arrogant and usually have an opinion on every issue. And when they are wrong, they get defensive. So all of us probably know somebody that's close to us, whether, like it says at the bottom, at the top it says, do you recognize these people? And it says at the bottom, of course you recognize them. They are people you work with, sell to, depend on, and live with. All right, I heard you. Somebody said, well, So, you know, we all know know-it-alls. They think they know everything. And they, you know, the one thing about know-it-alls is even when you have a story, they always have a better story. You know, something that more spectacular happened to them. All right. And then there are the passives. These people never offer ideas or let you know where they stand. You know, they just kind of are incognito, and really nobody understands, you know, where they're at, where they're coming from. And then all of us are exposed to the dictators. They bully and intimidate. They're constantly demanding and brutally critical, just critical of everything that comes down the pike. You know, they find something wrong. No matter how perfect something is, that not only do they bully, but they can find something wrong with the thing that's being put up front. Then there are the yes people, and they agree to any commitment, yet rarely deliver. You can't trust them to follow through, that they make commitments that they don't follow through on. And then there are the no people. They are quick to point out why something won't work. And what's worse, they are inflexible. And then we see that there are the gripers. Is anything ever right with them? They prefer complaining to finding solutions. And so when we look at these personality types right here, and you know, it's interesting because as a pastor, you know, I have the opportunity to sit in a lot of meetings here at Bethany Baptist Church. And at some point in time, you know, you see these personality types coming out. Now, I'm not sitting down at the table evaluating and as we sit in a meeting to say, okay, this person is that, this person is that, this person. You know, no. But you know what? Sometimes, because it's so ingrained in the spirit of a person, that it just comes out. And so, you know, we need to ask ourselves, you know, we know that as we deal with these individuals in relationship, that, you know, we need to have wisdom. And that's what the whole message today is going to be talking about. I'm not necessarily going to be addressing situations within marriages, even though the principles that I give you will apply to marriages or families or any particular situation. But we're going to talk about relationships in general and how we can have and maintain healthy relationships. But like I said, maybe the more frightening thing, and I just like for you to think for a moment, you know, because it's easy, even when I was going through this, it's very easy for you to start thinking about people in your life that fall into these categories. But sometimes, you know, we got to say, it's not my mother, it's not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the place of one of these people. All right? So, let's be honest. You ask yourself before we even move on, you know, because, you know, we need to make the message personal today. You know, again, I find that, you know, a lot of people, when they come to church, it's easy to put up your spiritual umbrella, right? When the word is going forth, you put up your umbrella, and when the bricks of the word fall, it bounces off of your umbrella and hits the people around you. So take down your spiritual umbrella today. Let the Lord minister to your spirit. Now, if you're going to be in relationship, you know, there are some characteristics that need to be true of your life. And when we think about that, we see that Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. So if you are in a relationship, then you are a friend of the person that you're in the relationship with. And there ought to just be some general characteristics that that are part of your life, you know, whether you're in a marriage, whether, you know, it's a sibling situation, whatever the case might be. You know, these are some things that if you're in relationship, they ought to be true of your life. And so you got to ask yourself, you know, am I a loving person? Am I a loving person? Am I an honest person? Am I a person that's trustworthy? You know, or you know, the people that I'm in relationship with, do they have reason to not trust me? You know, am I a person of integrity? Am I respectful? You know, do I respect other people's ideas, opinions? You know, I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, people can be so critical and they just dismiss whatever the other person is thinking, and they are not respectful of, you know, what that person might be thinking, their point of view. Don't try to understand it, you know, but just come off because, you know, things are all about them. It's all centered around them. Loyal, that's another characteristic of a person who's a friend. You know, that somebody that's dedicated, you know, somebody that's loyal to you, that got your back, that if you're doing something, that they'll come alongside and try to, you know, help you out. You know, serving, giving is a part of this. Patient. You know, when you go back and you read 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about love, you know, one of the things that it talks about, love is patient. And so if you're in a relationship, you got to be patient with individuals. You know, you can't have a short fuse. You know, you can't go off the handle the minute that this person does the slightest thing that's wrong. You gotta have some patience in relationships. You gotta be flexible. You know, some people are so rigid that it's their way or the highway. You know, there's no wiggle room. That if you don't fit in to this tight little box that I have, then, you know, we're gonna have conflicts. That our relationship is gonna have some struggles. And the reason, because you're not flexible. And, you know, you got to be flexible. And if you're going to be in relationship with somebody, you got to be forgiving. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. But you got to have a forgiving spirit. If you're a person that holds grudges and, you know, can't let things go, then it's going to be very difficult to be in a relationship. Because sooner or later, somebody's going to do something that's going to be an offense. And, you know, you're going to have to deal with it and let it go. And then supportive. You know, that when, and I like the verse that we have here. Now, again, it says a friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times, you know, and that love means they're honest, respectful, loyal, serving, patient, flexible, forgiving, and especially the second part of that verse, that when adversity comes, that your friend is supportive. Now, I saw this, and I just threw it up here to put it up here. On getting along with other people. And so I said, well, let me throw this in here. So, next week, y'all don't have to give anything in the offering for this. This is free. Yeah. All right. Six most important words. I made a mistake. The five most important words. You did a good job. The four most important words. What do you think? The three most important words, after you please. The two most important words, thank you. The one most important word, we. And the least important word is I. But sad to say that the least important word, oftentimes, is the most important word. You know, you heard the poem that I like to tell. I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3:00. It was very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. I ate all the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. It was also I that ate the pie, now pass the cake to me. You know, so that's the testimony of the average person. You know, it's all about them. You know, the party is all about them. But when you're in a relationship, the party cannot be all about you. And so that's what we're going to discover today in the book of Proverbs. Now, one of the most important things before I actually get into the verses today that I have to say, because I said it in my book, Mending the Fences or Rebuilding the Fences of Broken Relationships, that one of the most important things that has to be a part of a relationship is brokenness. Is brokenness. What is brokenness? Brokenness is yielding, you know, yourself, yielding your rights to the rights of those around you when you are in relationships. And if you don't have an attitude or a spirit of brokenness, I'm just going to say it's going to be very difficult for you to function in a healthy manner within relationships. That you have to, as Paul said, I am crucified. Oh, hallelujah. I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Yet not I, But Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's brokenness right there. That's brokenness right there. That you yield, you know, first of all, to God, that you yield to his plan, you yield to his program. And in yielding to God's plan and program, sometimes there's a call to yield to those around us. And so brokenness is the key. So let's get into the lesson today, and we'll start by looking at the notes. How do I build and maintain healthy relationships? The first one is to show a genuine interest. Show a genuine interest. If you're in a relationship with another person, that you ought to be interested in them. You ought to be interested in what they're thinking, what they're, you know, what they're doing, you know, what their life is all about. Proverbs 20 and verse 5, it says this: counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. This verse means that a wise person is able to draw out the matters that are deep in the heart of another person. In relationships, it is seen when one friend shows a genuine interest in getting to know what's in the heart of the other person. By spending time together and by asking profound questions about their life. So when I'm in relationship, I'm interested in what's going on in another person's life. And as I was studying this, I was looking at, you know, what are some key things that are part of relationships? And across the board, it almost said that, you know, you got to be interested in the other person. You got to want to know, you know, what's in their heart, what's in their spirit, you know, what's going on. You know, and I was thinking about this, and I said, well, you know, first of all, when you ask somebody how they're doing, and a lot of people say, well, I'm doing fine. And the reason they say that, most people are not doing fine. You know, there's usually something going on in the background of their life. But they figure one or two things. Either, you know, I don't want anybody to know that I'm going through it, or you're really not interested in what I'm going through. And then, you know, when somebody asks, hey, how are things going? You know, and let's be real. How many of us, when we ask that question, oh, we're going to get in trouble now. But how many of us, when we ask that question, let's be honest, really want to know. Really want to know, right? So that if a person opens up and they start telling you all this stuff that's going on, you're like, why did I ask that question? You know, but in relationship, you know, you can't be like that. There has to be that genuine interest that you have. And see, and so that means that a lot of a talk about me, myself, and I has to be put on the side. And if both people are doing that, then guess what? There's going to be some healthy communication. Why? Because we are both genuinely interested in what's going on in the other person's life. Generally, where communication breaks down is when it's all about one person. It's all about their problems, all about their issues. Then, you know, that means that the other person is not getting their equal opportunity to be able to share what's in their heart and on their spirit. So the first thing is that you have to show a genuine interest when you're in relationships. The second thing that we see is that you have to nurture a forgiving spirit. Nurture a forgiving spirit. In the notes it says, those who are in healthy relationships are able to overlook the faults and wrongs of others. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Now, let me say this. because somebody could get the wrong idea. It doesn't mean that you overlook serious issues. It doesn't mean that you overlook when a person is irresponsible. It doesn't mean that you overlook it when a person is involved in some type of gross immoral sin. You know, that's not what it's talking about. But it says that when you nurture a forgiving spirit, what that means is that in the normal course of life, when you're in a relationship, whether it's in a family or with friends, that at some point somebody's going to do something that causes a little riffle, all right, a little ruffle, a little triffle. And when that happens, you know, you can't be, oh, man, you know what? And, you know what? And you can't get all bent out of shape. You have to nurture a forgiving spirit. And when you nurture a forgiving spirit, then the first thing that you're going to realize, now, again, notice what I said before. I'm not saying somebody that's, you know, that's blatantly immoral or somebody that is out to hurt you and wound you. That I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the normal course of a healthy relationship. When these little things happen, if you have nurtured a forgiving spirit, when they happen, what do you say? You realize, first of all, that this person is not intentionally trying to hurt me or wound me. Now, again, you know the difference, because I know some of y'all sitting there and you saying, yeah, well, you don't know. You don't know what happened to me. You don't know what I went through. That's why I'm saying, in the course of a normal, healthy relationship, that when two friends or two people in relationship, whenever something happens, that the person who has been offended, if they nurture a forgiving spirit, then it's not going to be something that they're going to harbor and they're going to keep deep down in their soul and bring it up at that precise time to hammer that person over the head. Why? Because you've nurtured a forgiving spirit, an accepting spirit. And if you're going to be in a relationship, you can't be in a relationship and not nurture a forgiving spirit. Because, you know, there's something that happens every day. You know, somebody's going to leave the toothpaste off the top off the toothpaste. Somebody's not going to put the toilet paper on the roll the way that you like it. All right, somebody might get out of the shower and leave some water on the floor, right? So, I mean, just those little things in the course of time can become very frustrating. But if you have if you nurture a forgiving spirit, then you deal with them. You know, you address them, but you don't harbor, you don't hold it. And so that's what people in relationships do. The third thing is meet their need for support. Meet their need for support. Most people have two emotional needs. I learned this years ago in counseling. And that is to love and to be loved. Those are the two, probably the most important emotional need. To love and to be loved. Now, wrapped up in those two is the need for support. Solomon informs us, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 17:17. People in healthy relationships are there to provide encouragement in the good times and comfort in the times of adversity.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How Do I Build and Maintain Healthy Relationships? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, How Do I Build and Maintain Healthy Relationships? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do I Build and Maintain Healthy Relationships? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do I Build and Maintain Healthy Relationships? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.